Amen.
God bless you, Joshua.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate it. Amen. All right. If you would, take your Bibles to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. It is a blessing to be here with you this evening. It is evening time. Amen. You're confused about what time of the day it is. Amen. But no, it is good to be here with y'all this week for the marathon. I'm thankful for what the Lord has already done. And I'm looking forward to what He's going to do in the marathon as well. Amen. And I appreciate the service already. Amen.
Amen.
Daddy said there has been a theme, and I think that the Lord's confirmed in my heart this is where we're supposed to be. Amen.
Amen.
And heard, great is thy faithfulness. Amen. He's been faithful to every one of us. Amen.
Yeah.
And He's not going to stop now. Amen.
That's right.
He's going to continue to be faithful. And Sister Elizabeth sung about it over and over. He's still faithful. Amen.
Amen.
And again and again. Amen. And they sung, worry ends where faith begins.
Right.
Amen. And I told you about on the radio the other day, I don't remember what day it was, but I heard a preacher preach on fasting, and then the next preacher got up and said, we need to fast from worrying. Amen. Take a worry fast. Now, that's pretty good. Amen. We need to do that because He is faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Over and over, He's proven He's faithful. Amen.
Yes.
And then His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He cares for me.
Amen.
As you said in that last verse there, from cares, He sets me free. Amen. And we don't have to worry because the Lord's in control. Amen. And we just lean on the everlasting arms. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. Here in our text in John chapter number 6 is the account of the Lord feeding the 5,000. And He took care of the need that was there. Amen. And we're going to see how I believe the disciples were worried about it. Amen. And the Lord took care of the need. Amen. And we thank the Lord for it. So if you find your place here in John chapter number 6, we'll begin reading verse number 1. And we'll just try to magnify the Lord this evening. Amen. He says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, from which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company come unto Him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Every time the Lord ever asks you a question, it's not because He needs to know the answer. Amen. He asked them because He's going to prove them.
Right.
He has a test for them. Amen. Verse number 7. Philip answered them, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now, it's interesting, Jesus said, make the men sit down. They've been standing all this time listening to Jesus preach and teach and heal and all of this. And when I get done reading, I won't have to make you sit down. Amen. More than likely, you'll be willing to sit down. But Jesus made them sit down. Amen. And they did. Verse number 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, notice this, as much as they would. And when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then these men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Amen. It's interesting to me, they gave as much as they would, and they ate until they were filled, and then they had leftovers.
Amen.
Over and above. Amen. And Jesus always has more left over. Amen.
Right.
And when He does something, He does it to completion. Amen. Yes. Thanks, Lord, for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless the reading of the Word and the message here this evening as we preach. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You again for this day. Thank You for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that You would touch me and use me here as I try to preach. Lord, that You would encourage the saints of God, Lord. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to see You at work in our lives. And Lord, that we would just trust You in it. And Lord, I pray that You would guide my thoughts, my words, Lord, and that You would use me as I need Your help this evening. Lord, I pray You'd touch me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You for standing. You can be seated. I was thinking, I've been preaching through the book of John there at Larned, and I really enjoy the study in John. But John is an interesting gospel account, and John gives us more information than the other three. He gives us different information than the other three. This is actually, if I'm not mistaken, John gives us 7 miracles besides the miracle of his death and the miracle of his resurrection. Amen. You know, it's natural for us to die, but it wasn't natural for God to die.
Right.
It's a miracle when God died.
Right.
When Christ died. Amen. When He gave up His life.
Yes.
There, that was a miracle. And then the resurrection is a miracle. And then there's an 8th miracle there on the Sea of Galilee, same place here, that Jesus did after the resurrection. So 8 miracles in total, I believe, in the book of John. But this is the only miracle that is in all 4 of the Gospels, besides the cross and the resurrection. So John gives us this account, and John includes more in this than the other. He gives us a different view than the other Gospel accounts. So this is very familiar Scripture. Again, it's in all 4 of the Gospels. Matthew 14 and Mark 6 and Luke 9 tells us this same account. And they give us some different backgrounds, different things, but it's probably one of the most familiar miracles in the Bible. But most of the time we go to the book of John when we want to preach from this text of Scripture. And one of the reasons is this is the only text that tells us about the little lad with the lunch. Amen. Those that said Jesus broke bread and distributed it to the disciples, they gave it to the people, and God performed a miracle. But this one reveals that the reason, let me back up. God can do anything any way He wants to do it. Amen. But He chose not to just create bread out of thin air.
Right.
But He chose to use what somebody else gave.
Right.
And magnify that and multiply that.
That's right.
And that's the way God does here. Amen. Amen. God, in this marathon, He doesn't need our money.
Right.
But He uses our gift to spread the gospel. He multiplies that, and the bread is multiplied. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. And He uses that. And so I want to look at that. I'm not necessarily preaching about the marathon, but it applies to the marathon. Amen. And there might be something going on in your life that the Lord will apply this message to, and I hope that He will. But I know we can apply this to where we're at right now in the marathon. Amen. And so with thinking about this, I was studying, and you know, I like going through a book of the Bible because I just like studying that way. And but sometimes, like I was there in chapter 8, I believe it was, and I was trying to find the mind of God. Where do You want me to go in this portion of Scripture, right? And I was struggling with that. And so anyway, Samuel was eating on Saturday, eating lunch, I believe it was, and Samuel said, I forget how he said, something about, was I going back to the church? And I said, yes. I have to study. He said, what are you going to preach on? And I said, what do you think I should preach on? And he said, I don't know. And then he said, you could preach on Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's a pretty good place to start. Amen. And so that's what we're going to try to do this evening. Amen. Is preach a little bit about Jesus. Amen. And so I think every message should be about Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And so thank the Lord for that. All right. Here, John, as we said, gives us a different view of just about everything that he tells us. And one thing is John focuses a lot on the very early ministry of the Lord in Judea that the other Gospels do not give us.
Right.
When we think about John 3, he's in Judea with Nicodemus. That's not anywhere else. He goes to Samaria, all of this. But then John gives us a lot of different key times when, like in verse number 1 of chapter 5, after this there was a feast of the Jews. It doesn't tell us which feast, but one of the feasts is in chapter number 5. And chapter number 5 seems to be one event, but most of these chapters are one event contained in one chapter. The whole chapter is about the same thing. Here in chapter number 6, he says a feast of the feast of Passover, verse number 4, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So it gives us that that signpost that we know when it was, where it was, and this is the second Passover mentioned in John in the ministry of Jesus. So a lot of things has happened. It's at least 6 months, because the previous feast would have been 6 months before if it was tabernacles. So John tells us this chapter 6 takes place at least 6 months after chapter 5. And there has been a lot of things that has taken place. Matthew tells us about the Sermon on the Mount that's happened between chapter 5, it looks to me like, in chapter 6 of John. John doesn't tell us about the three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew tells us about a lot of different things. Mark tells us about things that John doesn't tell us. Luke tells us about things that John... John just totally skips over the healing of the lepers, the centurion servant being healed, Peter's mother-in-law being healed, when Jesus allowed the disciples to catch so much fish, their ship about sunk, their boat about sunk. You remember that? John doesn't tell us about that. He doesn't tell us about Jesus casting out the demons out of the maniac, and Matthew tells us there's two of them there. He doesn't tell us about either one of them. The man healed sick of the palsy, the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter, the two blind men, the casting out of the dumb devil, the devil that could not speak. The 12 sent out two by two to preach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He doesn't tell us about that. But he did that. John just chose, he had specific reason for writing to us, and he totally skips out on all that, but he tells us about this account. And this comes right after, according to Mark, I believe in Luke, this account comes right after they have returned, the 12 disciples have returned from preaching, going throughout all of Israel and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing the sick and all of these things that they did. And they come back, and Jesus said he took his disciples apart to rest.
Right.
Now, Jesus didn't need to rest, although he was human and he did tire. But that wasn't the purpose for this. He took them apart to rest. And notice what the Bible says here. Verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He sees these come, and he asked Philip, where are we going to get some bread for these people to eat? Right? And so we see here, it looks to me like this is not late in the evening. This is early. Jesus is getting ready to teach them. He's getting ready to probably to preach to them. He's getting ready to heal them, a lot of them. And so this is a long day. So Jesus takes his disciples apart to rest, and they just get set down good, and here comes a crowd of people.
Yeah.
And if you read through this, Jesus has the disciples serve these, you know, there's 5,000 men above women and children, probably at least 25,000 here in this crowd. Jesus has the disciples serve them while they are resting.
Yeah.
Amen. Then when you get down at the other three accounts tell us this, when evening was come, it was getting late, the sun's setting, they've been working all this time, they tell them, send them away, right? Because we don't have enough food for them. And so that's when this miracle takes place, is in the evening. But they've been there all day,
yeah,
serving. And Jesus doesn't send them away. He gives them some more work to do. Divide them up into 50s.
Right.
You got 25,000 people and divide them by 50. That's quite a bit of work to divide them all up.
Right.
Then he tells them to pass out this food to everybody.
Right.
Some of you ladies, you serve people, sometimes do the serving. And we have 100 people maybe. That's a lot of work for 10 or 12 people to serve 100 people. But you take 12 people serving 25,000.
Right.
That's a lot of work. I don't know how long it took, but it took some time for them to serve everybody.
Right.
And then when they get done, Jesus tells them, get in the ship and go to the other side.
Right.
And they're in the ship all night long, rowing. And the Bible says in the fourth watch of the night, at the end of the night, right before sunrise, So now they've been working all day and all night too.
Yep.
Jesus comes walking on the water. And Jesus calms the storm. They go, and immediately they're on the other side. They get out and he starts preaching again and crowds start coming. They didn't get any rest that night or day. And the purpose was for them to rest. Sometimes God allows us to rest by helping others. I believe that. God gives us something to do and it will even rest our, we need rest for our flesh. I understand that. But sometimes the best rest you can get is being busy about the things of God and helping somebody. Amen. And so Jesus has them to do that. Now I notice here he says the feast of the Jews. Now we won't run the rabbit, but if you go back, that's an interesting statement. And John says it over and over, feast of the Jews, feast of the Jews, feast of the Jews. You go back to Deuteronomy, Leviticus, it does not say a feast of the Jews. Jesus said the Passover is a feast of the Lord.
That's right.
This is the Lord's feast. They took what belongs to God and they made it mine.
Right.
This is my feast. It's the time we get together and I get to see all my friends and family. Everybody in the nation goes to Jerusalem and it's a wonderful time and I'm not thinking about God. I might be doing what God said to do because it's our culture to do that.
Right.
And it becomes our church service.
Yep. Yeah.
It becomes what we do instead of doing it unto the Lord.
There you go.
Amen. These Jews said this is our feast. They're very religious, and Jesus is teaching them and preaching to them and telling them, you need to be born again.
Amen.
Amen. And so everyone needs to be born again. Amen. A feast of the Jews. Now, let me notice a couple things here, and I'll be quick. Give Brother Moise plenty of time. Amen. At least 5 minutes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I see, first of all, a lesson. This is not a parable. In this account, we find a lesson that Jesus is trying to teach to His disciples. Again, I say this, Jesus is using His disciples, telling His disciples, I want you to serve these people. But it wasn't necessarily for those people's benefit. Jesus wants them to serve because He wants to teach His disciples something. Sometimes God may have a job for us. We think we're helping others when God is trying to help us to learn something and do something. Amen. And so I see a lesson. There is a lesson, verse number 5 down to verse number 7. I see, first of all, what Jesus said. Jesus lift up his eyes, verse number 5, and saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Here's something. These people have heard that Jesus is nearby, and they come to see Jesus. I see the crowd's negligence. Every one of them wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to hear what He had to say. They wanted to watch Him perform miracles. Some of them probably had children that needed a touch from Jesus.
Right.
They had good intentions for coming, but they didn't have any intentions of going home for lunch.
Right.
They hoped that they'd be there all day. That's their purpose.
Right.
And that's for us, that should be our purpose when we come to the Lord's house, is to be there for as long as the Lord would have for us to be there. Amen?
Amen.
And to get what we can get from the Lord. Amen. And these people, they came knowing they wasn't going home for lunch. They knew they was going, every person here, nobody got up that morning and said, you know, I don't think I'll need anything to eat today. Every person knew this is a need that they have, but nobody, not one, well, one person, a little boy, thought enough, I'm going to bring me something to eat. Because I might be there a while, right? And the point that I want to make about this is these disciples could have told Jesus, Lord, this ain't our fault.
Right.
We didn't tell them to come out here. We didn't tell them not to bring any food. Right? It's not our fault.
Yeah.
Every person that came knew they needed something, but nobody decided to bring anything. And I think we can see a type here that we can't, every one of us have a need. Every person born into this world has a need for Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Everybody has a need and it's not nobody's fault but their own.
Right.
They have neglected the deal with their problem that is sin.
Right.
Amen. It's not anybody else's fault. But God has tasked us with the responsibilities we heard yesterday. to provide for their negligence.
Yep.
Jesus said, I want you, it's not your problem, but it's going to be your problem. I want you to fix this problem. I want you to give them something to eat. Amen?
Yep.
Amen? And so we can't blame anybody but ourselves for our sinful condition, but we have a responsibility to reach others with the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus places the plight of sinners into our hand. Brother Matt preached this afternoon about not having the idea, well, it's their fault they're the way they are.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything about it. No. God's tasked us with the responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
And notice something else. Notice here, the Bible says, verse number 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? What I notice here is, you notice who noticed the problem first?
Yeah.
Before the disciples realized we got a problem,
yeah,
Jesus said, you need to be thinking about how you're going to feed this people.
That's right.
The people didn't come to Jesus and say, Lord, we'd like to stay and listen to you a little bit longer, but we're really hungry.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. Jesus noticed their need. I want you to notice this too. It looks to me like this is in the morning.
Yeah.
Jesus saw them coming before they ever came.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, they're going to have a need later.
Yeah.
And I want you to be thinking about how you're going to meet that need. And you, if you go to the other three, you don't have to do, I told you, Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9, you'll find all three of them say, none of them say that Jesus said to Philip, you need to be figuring out how we're going to feed them. But John did. John tells us that Jesus said that early. But all three of the other ones said, when even was now come, when it was growing late, all of them have the idea that this is late in the day, and Philip comes to the Lord and said, Lord, we need to send them away because we don't have any food.
Right?
So here's the point. Jesus had already, I'm talking about the lesson to the disciples.
Right.
Jesus had already told Philip, you need to figure out how we're going to feed this people. You are going to feed them. And when they get down to the end of the day, they know what Jesus said. We're going to feed them. We're going to give to this people something we ain't got. And they come to the Lord and said, I know what you said, Lord, but we just ain't got it. There's no way we can do what you said for us to do. There's no way. And you know what? They wasn't wrong. They couldn't do it. But ain't that the way the Lord does? We know marathon's coming up.
Yep.
And we're spending all week worried about how it's going to come in.
Yep.
And the Lord's got a plan all along. He knew how he's going to do it before he ever asked Philip in the first place.
Amen.
He knew how he's going to do it. Amen? Amen. I see the crowd's negligence. I see Christ prompting here. Jesus noticed there was a need. And he told the disciples, you need to be paying attention to this need. Now, it looks to me like the disciples was not as compassionate as the Lord was about this problem. They saw it as a problem for them, not as a problem for the others. Amen? It's not... I understand the radio ministry is our ministry here at Island Ford Baptist Church. I understand that. But it's not really our ministry. It's the Lord's ministry.
Amen.
He's the one that ordered it, and he'll, as Daddy says, he'll pay for it. Amen. He will. I believe that. So I see that Christ prompting, and then I see Philip's calculating. Notice what he says, verse number 7. Philip answered him. Ain't this amazing? The Lord comes to Philip and says, you need to think about how we're going to feed them. I don't believe Philip answered immediately.
Right.
I believe it's an immediate answer. Notice what he said. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Why did he say 200 pennyworth? I don't know. But could it be, I believe what Philip did before that he told them, this amount is not enough. I believe first he calculated how many people there were. He kind of looked around. Well, there's a bunch over there and a bunch over there. And he started counting, and Lord, man, this is going to take a lot of food.
Yeah.
After he looked at the crowd, then he looked at the bag.
Yeah.
Maybe they might have had Judas and Philip maybe been over there counting the money, find out how much we got. Maybe they had around 200 Pennyworth.
Right.
And Philip comes to the Lord and said, Lord, if we took everything we've got and put it toward this need,
right,
everybody couldn't eat just a little bit.
Yep.
It wouldn't have been enough for everybody to just get a bite. Right? So he's calculating. Ain't that the way it is? We calculate the crowd, we calculate the bag, we calculate the food. Now, Lord, we're going to come up short here. Philip's worried about it. Amen. We heard a lot about that already, didn't we? Amen. I think about these disciples getting together. I don't believe, again, this happened early in the morning. Jesus said, you need to be thinking about this. Then later, Philip comes back. They've been thinking about it all day long. They even asked everybody, do you have any food? And one guy they found got a little bit of food. But it's nowhere near enough.
Right.
And so then they come to the Lord and say, we just can't do this, Lord.
Yep.
I believe Jesus is out there healing people, and these disciples are worried.
Yeah.
They can't enjoy the service because they're worried about what's going to happen
right
in a little while when they need some food.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus didn't tell them that for them to worry. He's trying to prove them.
Right.
Right? And so Jesus tells them that they all get together and they're trying to figure out what we're going to do about this need that we have. And somebody said a committee. That's what they had. They had a committee, right?
Yeah.
Got this committee to figure out the problem, what we're going to do about it. Somebody said a committee is a group of people who individually can do nothing. And collectively, they decide that nothing can be done.
Yeah.
Amen. J. Vernon McGee said a committee is a group of people who take down minutes and waste hours. Amen. I don't remember. It may have been, what's his name? Vance Havner, I believe, said this. A committee is a group of the unfit, elected by the unwilling, doing the unnecessary.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's probably right.
Yeah.
Amen. So we find here that there is a problem. And the Lord told him, I want you to fix it. Somebody said, and you've probably heard this, that the Lord will never ask you to do anything you cannot do. But he asked them to do something they could not do.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. And he tasked them with doing it. God will always ask us what we cannot do.
That's right.
And then he gives us the strength to do it,
yeah,
or provides for us. I think about a lot of times the answer to our problem is within the problem.
Yeah.
You think about the widow there with the debt, and Elijah said, what do you have in the house?
Yep.
He said, I ain't got nothing except for a little bit of wine. I mean, a little bit of oil. Excuse me. A little bit of oil. And he said, take the oil, borrow vessels, not a few, and fill them up and sell the wine, the oil. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying wine. The oil. And she did that. You think about Psalm 23. My mama says, the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Right in the middle of the problem, the Lord provides a feast. Amen. Ain't that the way the Lord does? Right in the middle of it. Amen. In all three of the other accounts, when the disciples come to the Lord, they say these three words, send them away. How many times is that our answer?
Yeah.
Oh, we just can't do it. Send them away. We can't help them.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad we got help for them.
Amen.
Through the Lord. Amen. But they said send them away. And it's interesting. It's just a couple of chapters later in the book of Matthew, I believe it is. Jesus tells about him feeding the 4,000.
Yeah.
There's 1,000 less, and they said the same thing. Send them away.
Yeah.
We can't help them. Two chapters ago, or three chapters ago, we fed 5,000. Now we can't do it again. I mean, might have done it one time, but we can't do it again.
Yeah.
Right? Ain't that the way we calculate things?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I say this, that these men were not wrong in the calculation. But they had left Christ out of it.
Oh, yeah.
If we try to calculate without putting Christ in, it will never work out.
You're right.
But every time when we put the Lord in the calculation, it'll work out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It'll work out every time. Amen. Amen. Somebody, I think I told you about this. I'm thinking about the amount of people that come out of Egypt. Right? The amount of people that come out of Egypt. I don't know how many totally came out, but some people say 2 to 3 million,
yeah,
right? But I do know this. This kind of gives a perspective. I may have told you about this before, but I read somewhere where they said, you know, Zacharias is in the temple. offering incense. And it was his lot, right? It's his day. It's his time to offer incense. And I don't know if it was Matthew Henry or who it was. Somebody said that the priests, most of them, they offered incense every day. Every day they offered incense. But they said there was enough priests that no priest ever in the history of Israel offered incense twice in their life. I was like, there's no way there could be that many priests. I looked it up. If you go back in Numbers, you can count it. How many priests there was. Now, the priests only served from the time they was 30 to the time they was 50, right? Well, that's right, 20 years. When they come out of Egypt, if you divide how many priests there was when they came out of Egypt and counted them there, they didn't count all the Levites, but they counted the priests in that the one family. I forget which one it was. Anyway, they counted them. And in just in that family, you have enough priests that if everyone did it one day, then it would take 22 years, I think it was, or 23 years for anybody to need to do it twice. And nobody serves for 22 or 23 years. Right. They only serve for 20 years. So when they come out of Egypt, there was enough that they could have a different priest offer incense every single day and never have to do it twice. I mean, people are coming out of the wilderness and the Lord fed every one of them.
Amen.
He didn't need somebody figured up how many train loads of grain it would take, all these things, how many quail, 700,000, 750,000 quail, if ever quail fed five people a day, would have to die. And the Lord provided every day. Provide manna for them. Amen. If the Lord can provide water in a wilderness, you think about that? Moses smote the rock, and then the Lord told him the second time, speak to the rock, and he smote it again. But that rock, the Bible says there flowed water out of the rock, and millions of people drank that water.
Right.
It was not a little stream.
Right.
You better stand back, amen, because you'll be in the way.
Yeah.
Amen. God provided. And if God could provide in the middle of a desert for His people, don't you think He can provide for us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 40 years. Brother Seitler said, all of them died during those 40 years, but none of them, not one of them died from starvation.
Yeah.
The Lord provided for them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Now, not only the lesson to the disciples, I think the Lord was wanting to teach us the lesson in this scripture here. Amen. Then we see the lad that delivered. It's the only scripture that mentions the lad. The answer to the disciples' problem was in the problem, as we already stated. Amen. And I believe somebody said this, faith, the definition of faith, one definition of faith would be just allowing God to work in the situation. Step back and saying, let the Lord do it. Amen. Now the Lord uses us.
Sure.
We understand that. We have to be obedient to Him. But just do what God says and allow the Lord to do the rest. That's what the disciples did. Amen. And then the lunch that was divided, 25,000, probably somewhere around in there. And I noticed this. The disciples said, this is nowhere near enough. We got a lad with a little lunch, but it ain't nowhere near enough for all these people. If you can do something with this, you know, we'll watch you. They handed it to him. And notice what the Lord said in verse number 10. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Notice what they had just said. But what are they among so many? They said, Lord, this is nowhere near enough. And she said, okay, make everybody sit down and tell them they're getting ready to eat.
Yeah.
You know what the disciples did? They argued with them for 20 minutes.
No.
Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down. The disciples said, all we have is this little bit of food we can hold in two hands, more than likely. But Jesus said, make the men sit down. We're going to make the men sit down. Because He's getting ready to do something.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And that should be our attitude.
Amen.
When the Lord says do it, we just do it. Amen.
Amen.
The lunch that was divided. They just obeyed. When they counted the food, they told the Lord it could not be done. Well, I want to ask you this. I don't know how much those 25,000 people understood what was going on with this lunch, right? I don't know that they saw it. I don't know what happened. But if everybody there knew about this lunch, five loaves and two fishes, And they took a vote. How many of y'all believe the Lord can feed everybody here? With five loaves and two fishes. How many people you think would raise their hand? None, even if I was there. Amen. I wouldn't raise my hand with that. Amen. It wasn't just these disciples that didn't believe it could be done. Nobody believed it could be done. Somebody said this is the greatest miracle that Jesus did. A lot of the miracles that Jesus did, he did on a blind man. Or he did on a widow woman. Or he did on 10 lepers. Or Jesus performed a miracle for 25,000 or so people at one time.
Amen.
The multiplication of the bread. Amen. I don't believe anybody believed that Jesus would do it. But verse number 6, this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do in this situation. Amen. Jesus never met a situation he didn't know what to do.
Right.
He always knows what to do. Amen. He knows what to do in your situation. Whatever you're facing this evening. Amen. The lunch that was divided, the lad that delivered, and the lesson to disciples. Last of all, the leftovers that were not discarded. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus took the leftovers. Think about this. He says, verse number 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he gave thanks before that he multiplied the food. There's still only five loaves and two fishes, and the Lord gave thanks for the food that this whole crowd's getting ready to eat.
Yeah.
They ain't got any food.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus blessed it. Y'all probably heard the stories of George Mueller. Don't have any food to feed the orphans for his family to eat. And they go to the table, sit down, and he prays and thanks the Lord for the food that they ain't got. And when he's finished praying, or while he's praying, somebody knocks at the door with food that they can't use.
Right.
They had extra, and they got to get rid of it.
Right.
Amen. I'm saying the Lord can provide. Amen.
Sure.
He did for them. He can do it for us as well. Amen. A lot of times our needs, I understand people have financial problems, but a lot of times our needs are not necessarily financial problems.
Right.
We've got it so good in America. We don't have a whole lot of financial problems, really. Amen. But the Lord can provide whatever the need is. Amen. Amen. The leftovers. Think about this. Look what he says. Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. I think about how the Lord increased their faith. I don't know what happened. But I don't believe that Jesus prayed over it and he blessed it and then he break it. And as he's breaking it, he fills up a big old basket for each one of the disciples to take out and pass out. I believe it's probably kind of like that widow woman with the meal barrel that there's just a little bit left.
Yeah.
And they scoop it. I believe he probably divided five loaves and two fishes among these 12 disciples and they each get a little handful. They come down. Jonathan, take a little bit, but I ain't got much. Don't take too much, right? And as they go, it just keeps multiplying.
Yeah.
They just keep giving. When they get over here, brother, take as much as you want. Amen. We got plenty here. Amen.
Yeah.
And the Lord provided. And those disciples, while they are starting to give it out, they still don't believe this is going to be enough.
Yeah.
But by the end, they're trying their best to get people to take more. You got to eat until you're stuffed. Amen. Because we got so much. We got food running out of our ears. We can't do anything with it. And the Lord had them take it up, the leftovers, and there was 12 baskets full.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord provided.
Amen.
I believe every time that we just obey the Lord, just do what He's... I don't know what the Lord's asked you to do. Maybe somebody listening on the marathon, listening on the radio, the Lord's laid something on your heart and you say, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You just obey the Lord. The Lord will do the rest. Amen. He'll provide. And I don't know about you, I kind of believe these 12 baskets full probably went back with this lad.
Yes,
I've never given that the Lord didn't give me way yonder more than I ever gave to him.
That's right.
Amen. And this boy come home and brought home some leftovers to his mama after she fixed him a little lunch. So this is what I had left over because I gave it to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Look what he did with it. Amen. So I notice that after giving and giving and giving and giving, these disciples came back to Jesus with more than they left.
Yep.
Amen. And that's the case every time that we give to the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. These disciples, Jesus never gave the bread to the people. Jesus gave the bread to the disciples.
That's right.
And the disciples had to give it, had to give what God had given to them to the people.
Right.
Amen. And that's what God has tasked us to do. Yep. Just give what God has given us. And God will do the rest.
Amen.
God will take care of it. Amen. I believe that. And so we just got to be obedient to Him. Whatever He has for us to do, we do that. And the Lord will take care of it.
Amen. Amen.
And we'll wind up more than likely with more than we had when we started. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for His provision. He's faithful, ain't He? Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for it. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and turn it back over to Daddy. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for this day. Lord, thank You for Your Word, for the encouragement that it gives to us when we look at it, how that we find ourselves sometimes, a lot of times, in the same situation where we don't have enough. We don't have what we would like to have. We don't even have what we need to have. But then You provide for us, and I thank You for it. Lord, I pray You would help us. Lord, You've tasked us with getting the gospel around the world. Lord, I pray You'd help us to do that, to give what You've given to us and what You multiply for Your will and Your glory. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.